Warning: The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
Welcome back. It's the Savage Nation. My name is Lou Pate, sitting in for Dr. Savage. And remember to go to michaelsavage.com for all the latest news. Sign up for the Savage newsletter. It's free, and it's delivered directly to your inbox. I mean, come on, it doesn't get much easier than that. And while at michaelsavage.com, buy the blueprint to restore America after Obama's scorched earth. It is the most important book heading into 2017 and the Trump presidency, and the Trump presidency finds its foundation here at the Savage Nation. I kid you not. Michael Savage was the first national personality to give Donald Trump a platform to speak to the people. And he spoke to millions of you out there in the audience when all of the networks and everybody else, pretty much 99.999%, were calling him a rodeo clown, calling him names, laughing, Seth Meyers saying he's running as a joke, and so on and so forth. You can actually go to YouTube and see all of those clips. But it was here, at the Savage Nation, where the Trump presidency finds its foundation. And hey, Michael Savage should be up there on the stage with him. Why not? The one who helped get you there, the one who boosted you up first, and everybody else jumped on the bandwagon when they saw which way it was going. But if you go to michaelsavage.com, as we have been talking about John Kerry's speech all day, you will see a wealth of information on the speech. An Israeli cabinet member calling John Kerry's speech pathetic. It's right up there at the top of michaelsavage.com, right to the right of Scorched Earth. And the United States Congress moving to cut U.S. funding to the U.N. in wake of the anti-Israeli vote. Will they have the backbone to do it, or are they just giving lip service? And in with the theories that Obama might have masterminded the U.N. vote against the Israeli settlements. There's an article there. Go from michaelsavage.com. It will give you the latest. And, of course, sign up for the newsletter. So much going on. If it's not covered here on the show, it's covered there on Michael Savage. A lot of times the two overlap, and there's so much going on in the world. The top of the Drudge Report, most of the day, Drudge had one last slap with an exclamation point. And I said all day that the John Kerry speech was an exclamation point slap in the face to our friend and ally, Israel. And he's since updated it saying, Bibi punches back. And we've played some clips. We'll have some more of Prime Minister Bibi Netanyahu punching back on this speech, which is not being well received, folks. Not being well received at all. But now we have the issue of the Obama administration announcing or close to announcing measures that they're going to punish Russia for interfering in our election. They don't even use the word alleged anymore. Interfering in our election. I am sure that Vladimir Putin is quaking in his boots. I am sure that they are really scared. Listen, nobody respects President Obama. Nobody fears President Obama. Those are kissing cousins that come together when you're talking about power on this level. He has had just shy of 8 years of being made a fool of on the international map by his own actions. Again, not supporting Israel. How many red lines did he draw in the sand? It looked like he was drawing a crossword puzzle on the sand. He drew so many red lines. And then to not follow up the tough guy rhetoric with any action, well, people are just going to laugh at you. And then there's the Iran nuclear deal, them going back on that. No repercussions, no penalty. He didn't know what to do. He just lets people walk all over us. But now the administration is supposed to be finalizing deals, which is going to include covert action, which would involve cyber operations. I'm being a bit facetious, a bit sarcastic as I bring this to you because I don't believe it. I don't believe it. And an announcement is expected soon. You see with liberals, what they do is they always make these grand things like an announcement is coming soon, or they're forming a blue ribbon commission to put together to study this. It's going to cost $20 million to study something. But they never actually come up with anything except for more hyperbole. Now, the sanctions portion of the package, it culminates weeks of debate. The White House has supposedly been wrestling with this. And quite frankly, sanctions don't work. Remember in Iraq, oil for food? Sanctions don't work. Look at Cuba. They went to China. They went to Russia. They just go to our enemies and get goods, services, and supplies. So sanctions is just a word to throw out there to make it look like you're doing something, but you're not actually getting anything done. And I'd like to know for you, the listeners to the Savage Nation, what could he do? What could Obama do to Russia? He can't hurt them in their pocketbook because, you know, they can go to their allies. But this is another part of putting Trump in a box, the statement we used earlier that producer Robert came up with. This is just another part of putting Trump in a box to try to really hurt his road to his first 100 days. And what I mean by that is, instead of working with Putin and befriending him as much as one can. I know you can never really be friends with someone on that level the way he is and some of the things he's said, but don't try to further alienate him. There is nothing to be gained by butting heads on a hillside like two rams with Vladimir Putin and Russia. Okay? This is kind of, I hate to yeah, well, he who ignores history is doomed to repeat it, but it kind of goes back to World War II, where Russia was our ally, but they weren't really our friend, but we worked together to get rid of the Nazis, okay? Now, it's 2017. Russia is not our ally or our friend, but we need to work with them. Well, for numerous reasons now, global businesses, but also terrorism. We have a common enemy in terrorists. And if we're going to be fighting terrorists, I want Vladimir Putin working with us. And we have Donald Trump, President-elect Trump, nominating Rex Tillerson for Secretary of State, a businessman who ran ExxonMobil. And again, another guy I want on my team. He's pushing $8 billion profit every quarter. His wallet's a little bit thicker than mine, but let's just say. He's got a relationship with Putin. The media tried to turn this into something negative, something nefarious. Oh, he's friends with Putin. Like, nobody can be friends with Putin. We need Putin. Putin needs us. Any type of conflict, any type, I'm not going to say war, but any type of negativity, any type of demerit, blemish on the relationship with Russia, it goes against progress. We're not moving forward. So I feel that the administration finalizing details to try to put sanctions against Russia or come up with any type of cyber operations, covert cyber operations to punish Russia is really a way to stick it to Trump, because there is really nothing that they can do. And again, it's only 23 days. And here's the big question. Had Hillary Clinton won the election, would President Obama be looking to punish Russia for election interference? No. The short answer is no, okay? But now that the media has run with this and the CIA has said, we know it was Russia, it was definitely Russia who hacked those emails, they haven't shown us the proof. They'll probably say it violates national security, but all of a sudden, they're running with this. We would not be having this discussion. Obama would not be planning on covert cyber operations or sanctions or anything else with great fanfare if Hillary Clinton had won. And it comes back to the fact that nobody has a problem with what those emails that were hacked by whoever revealed. Corruption of Hillary Clinton, corruption in the way of selling her influence as Secretary of State, thus to put slush fund money into the Clinton Foundation. Everybody's okay with that, which I don't understand at all. It is truly an amazing phenomenon. Robert, if we can, please, clip number 19 with John McCain commenting on Vladimir Putin.
After World War II was over, we have, could I just say, 70 years, we have had a new world order, and it's been relatively peaceful. What we are allowing Vladimir Putin to do is undermine that world order. You are in danger of seeing the European Union come apart. You're seeing strains caused by the refugees, which is the Syrian problem, which was only Vladimir Putin was one of the ones mainly responsible for our failure in Syria, and a total and abysmal failure. And so that world order has to be maintained. Vladimir Putin is a threat to that.
First, it's time for John McCain to go away. Retire, okay? You've been a blotch on the scene for too long. You've probably logged thousands of hours on Meet the Press. You and Lindsey Graham, the Never Trumpers, time to go away. Well, I tell you, before the election, I was hoping he would lose the primary. But once he won the primary, I was actually just, I'm almost embarrassed of this, but I was willing to give up a Senate seat on the Republican side just to get rid of John McCain. I was hoping he would lose. It was the only negative part of my election night viewing that I was like, ugh. The rest of it I was pretty cool with, obviously the end with Trump. But it's time for McCain to go away. I love the part where he says, the ones mainly responsible for our failure in Syria, and total and abysmal failure, so that the world order has to be maintained, Vladimir Putin is a threat to that. No. You know who's responsible for our failure? President Barack Obama was beaten by Putin. This is like you blaming the teacher that you failed the test. You didn't study, so you're blaming the teacher because you didn't study. No, Vladimir Putin wiped the floors all over the international map with President Obama. Okay, that is why there was failure in Syria. It's very sad that it has led to the deaths of thousands of people, including women and children, and the heinous stories of war and rape and mutilation that are coming out of there. It's horrible for those people. I'm not against helping them take back their country and rebuild, come to a deal with Putin or something, but for us to start knocking heads with Putin, we're barking up the wrong tree. We're spinning our wheels in the mud. We're not going to get anywhere. It is a losing proposition. So along comes President-elect Donald Trump and Rex Tillerson. I hope he is confirmed. I think he'll be confirmed. They have the numbers, so there's not much the Democrats can do except to come out of the gate by giving him a hard nomination hearing and muddying it up and giving the people the perception that he's some type of nefarious, horrible person simply because he has a relationship with Vladimir Putin. We'll take a quick break. We'll take some phone calls. If you want to get in on the conversation, 855-400-SAVAGE. My name is Lou Pate, in for Michael Savage, and go to the michaelsavage.com website, sign up for the newsletter. It's free, and it's delivered directly to your inbox. You are listening to The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
It's the Savage Nation, Lou Pate in for Dr. Savage. And remember, go to michaelsavage.com, buy the blueprint to restore America after Obama scorched earth. As we head into 2017 and the Trump presidency, it is the most important book you will lay your eyes on. Trust me on that. michaelsavage.com. We are talking about President Obama threatening action to punish Russia. Now, if you remember back in 2015, he had an executive order that would give the president authority to respond to cyber attacks from overseas. And what that did was it felt good about himself because that threat actually caused a pledge to come out of the Chinese president that his country would not hack U.S. companies. And Obama must have been emboldened by that by saying, wow, just the threat of sanctions stopped China. Well, I don't think it stopped them. I think China just said they stopped and it'll go in some other way, shape, or form. They're too smart for that and they're too nefarious. But with guys like Putin, if he did interfere with the election, he just did it. He don't care. A pledge is not going to stop him. And when people like Putin challenge Obama's authority, which he has done on a number of occasions, Obama doesn't know what to do. So they're not revealing what they're going to do. There's a lot of veiled things going on as far as, well, we're going to do this, and it's going to be cyber, and it's going to be sanctions, and it's going to be this, and it's going to be that. But they really don't have a plan, and I don't think they have the backbone to challenge Putin either. And John McCain is still talking. Robert, please, clip 18.
We ought to have a policy, which this administration does not have, which then comes a strategy to defeat these attacks, which this administration has never done, much to our frustration. You can do a number of things. One, the, increase the sanctions on Russia for this misbehavior. I would make sure we have a permanent presence here in the Baltic countries. As you can imagine, they're very concerned. I think I would give defensive weapons to Ukraine so they can defend themselves against further Russian attacks on their homeland, and make sure that Vladimir Putin knows that this kind of action in the future will be responded to. So far, he's gotten away with whatever he has wanted to do.
Yeah, yeah. What's going to happen? All this stuff doesn't mean anything. At this point, you say it's water under the bridge. You got us. We don't like it. Don't do it again. There'll be ramifications, but let's work together. Let's work together against ISIS. Let's work together against our mutual enemies. Again, going head-to-head with Russia is a losing battle. And John McCain just doesn't get that. You heard him stuttering and stammering and talking about sanctions and increased sanctions on Russia for this misbehavior. Again, if Hillary Clinton had done this, had won the election, would we be doing this? No, we would not. So the only thing I agree with John McCain said there is really criticizing the administration for not having a strategy to defeat cyber attacks. And let's put it frankly, you can't, okay? Those guys in the cyber world are smarter than everybody. And you shut one door, they'll open up five others. There's no way to prevent cyber attacks. They're just too smart, okay? And they'll always find another way. So let's work with them instead of trying to cause roadblocks for the incoming administration. That's what we see with the UN resolution. That's what we see with trying to muddy the relationship with Israel and John Kerry's speech today. That is what we see with trying to start trouble with Russia. 23 days out. It's not going to work. It's bad plan. It's no plan. You're listening to The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.
Welcome back to The Savage Nation. Lou Pate sitting in for Dr. Savage. And tell your friends, tell your family, do it yourself. Go to michaelsavage.com. Not only there will you get the latest and most up-to-date headlines of the day, but you could also subscribe to the newsletter and purchase Restore America After Obama, Scorched Earth. As we head into the Trump presidency, it is going to be very telling. Trust me, you are going to definitely want this. And speaking of the Obama presidency, 23 days left, and we're looking at a man who seems very vindictive, throwing roadblocks, hand grenades in the way of Trump. So as I said before, I described, you got to clean up the mess behind him. New York Post says Obama is doing everything he can to make things hard for Trump. And kind of overlapping with that is saying that he's going to punish Russia. We know he's not going to. We know that Vladimir Putin is laughing at him. And I do think there's something going on. Something is wrong with a lot of people out there, because believe it or not, President Obama was voted the most admired man in 2016. I kid you not. When Robert sent me this story, I almost thought it maybe it came from The Onion or some other satirical page out there on the internet, or maybe the team here was pulling a prank on me. But no, he is definitely most admired man by a reputable force Gallup. Okay, president came out just 7 percentage points ahead of President-elect Donald Trump. And believe it or not, that was his most narrow victory ever since they've been doing this. He won 22% of the vote. Trump came in second, 15%. Pope Francis was third. And get this, the biggest sellout in American political history, Bernie Sanders came in fourth. Now, you all know Bernie Sanders. He's the guy who wants us all to live the same lifestyle, but he recently bought an oceanfront home or a waterfront home. Hey, nothing against waterfront homes, but don't tell me to live in a box while you live in the lap of luxury. We see President Obama sticking it to President-elect Trump. Sour grapes, I don't know what it is, but we see it on all other different levels, too. For example, Trump Tower had an evacuation, okay? People ran. It was a false alarm. Nothing happened. There was a package left behind. It was on Tuesday, and this evacuation, the Secret Service doing their job. A package is left there or a bag of some sort. People notice it. Secret Service goes in. They start to evacuate. People panic. They run this video online. But what this has really done, it's highlighted the tension between Mayor Bill de Blasio in New York, who was just a complete failure, an old commie throwback who wants the New York City and America to be like Nicaragua, and de Blasio takes it to the transition team of Donald Trump because of this evacuation, saying, "We'll send you a bill." I mean, you're talking about the possibility of terrorism here. It's a bag. Granted, I want to be right out there. It's a false alarm. But the lobby of Trump Towers evacuated, turned out to be children's toys in the bag, quote unquote, a suspicious package. But what you have is the mayor of the city of New York, in the vein of Obama, trying to make things hard for President-elect Trump, says basically, "We'll send you a bill." I mean, it is truly amazing. This caused, you know, a back and forth on Twitter, because it reportedly costs New York City more than $1 million a day to protect Trump. De Blasio has lashed out at President-elect Trump about this before, because in case you've never been to New York, it's 56th Street and 5th Avenue, the heart of Midtown, one block up from the main shopping artery of 57th Street. Now, Sean Spicer, who's going to be White House spokesperson, tweeted after the incident, and the statement sparked the ire of the de Blasio's own, so he got his own press secretary. So he got press secretary after press secretary going after each other. And Eric Phillips, de Blasio's own press secretary, said, "No problem, we'll send you the bill." And this was after Sean Spicer wrote, "Back to work here at Trump Tower after a false alarm." I guess for some reason that irked. He's letting everybody know it's okay, because word like that spreads like wildfire, and then rumors spread even faster. Again, "Back to work here at Trump Tower after a false alarm." That's Sean Spicer. Eric Phillips, "No problem, we'll send you the bill." I don't think he meant it in jest. There's just too much negativity coming from that de Blasio campaign. It is just weird. About a month or so ago, de Blasio was complaining about how much it costs to protect President-elect Trump. Would he feel that way if it was President Obama living in Midtown Manhattan? I think not. Hey, let's get to the phones. Let's get some calls in here before the top. Jim from Dr. Savage's home at KSFO, welcome to the Savage Nation. Jim's gone. Yossi, is that how you say Yossi, W-A-B-C?
Yes, yes.
Hey, Yossi.
Hi. Hi, yes. Obama said that he wants to keep his legacy. So I would like to give him a suggestion. I think he should go to the Subaru dealer, and he should buy a Subaru Legacy. That's the only legacy he can keep.
You mean that's the only lasting legacy he's going to have that's a positive, if you like that kind of car? Yossi, thank you very much. I appreciate it. Go to Subaru Legacy. Okay, I got to say, Robert, that was pretty good. I got to say, that was pretty good. Anyway, but what we see going on here is people in the highest office in the world, President Obama, I called it sour grapes before, but more acting like a petulant child. We have seen this type of behavior from President Obama before. We saw it in various State of the Union addresses. When he's not getting what he wants, he starts acting like a petulant child. He starts getting It's like belligerent. I wouldn't call it pouty, but he gets belligerent when he's not getting what he wants. I think everything in his life has fallen into his lap. He was very lucky to have loving grandparents who plucked him from his hippy-dippy mom, who was off doing who knows what, and his father, who he only met twice, gave him a great education, and then he, you know, ran for Congress and lost, and then was doing the community organizer thing, and then ran for Senate and won, and the rest is history. 180 days, he's running for president. So I'm not saying he's never worked hard. I'm just saying things have come incredibly easy to him, so that when anybody goes against him, he kind of doesn't know how to react. And trust me, he's from Kansas. He's from Ohio. He has never met a true dyed-in-the-wool New Yorker like President-elect Trump. And I like saying President-elect Trump. I could say Trump, but I like saying President-elect Trump. He's never met a dyed-in-the-wool guy who digs in his heels and just, you know, gives it to you. He's used to dealing with politicians who bloviate and don't say much. So he knows his presidency is a failure. He knows Obamacare is going away. He knows all of these phantom accomplishments that I hear them talking about with the economy and health care and foreign policy. Well, he knows they're all a lie, but he thinks if he keeps saying it enough, it's going to make it come true. And Trump just keeps pointing out on Twitter and any place else that it's a failure. 23 days. Stay strong, Israel. So Kerry can talk for 70 minutes. Obama can give all the farewell speeches and farewell interviews he wants. That does not erase their actions over the past 8 years. And as I said at the top of the show, actions speak louder than words. We've seen action against Israel for 7 years, culminating in this UN resolution and Kerry's speech. Over the last, month and a half, we've seen actions against Trump. How do you do that? I know politicians tend to be the lowest of the low, and I say that because President-elect Trump is not a traditional politician, but the First Lady and President Obama had Melania and President-elect Trump to the White House. They gave them the tour. They sit down, they have dinner, and they exchange pleasantries. It's what you do. You take a few pictures, and then you leave the next day, and you spend the next few weeks trying to undermine this man. And when you're undermining the man, you're undermining us. You're undermining the American people. So what does that say? Okay? It doesn't say much for how he thinks about us, and it's not leadership. I'll take a quick call. Jim at KSFO, thank you for calling back.
Absolutely, no problem. You know, let's just call it what it is. You know, at this point, President Obama is a lame duck, so he's splashing around. But it's a friend of mine recently had his property, and he was renting the property, and then the owner sold it. And there was a for sale sign, so he had to leave. It's in the rearview mirror. There's nothing he can really do. All he can really do is talk about things. It's not going to change what's going to happen. President-elect Trump will become president, and his agenda will move forward. But listen, I call for one other reason today. I hope this is really going to make a difference in the whole picture of this country. I'm riding down the highway to work, and there's thousands of people going down the highway. And here's the metaphor, and this is the challenge to Dr. Savage and to President-elect Trump and to all of us Americans, and that is this. Let's do something we haven't been able to do the last 8 years, and that's bridge Americans, okay? And let's do that maybe by having an educational segment to bring people together about real news and real issues, things that unite us. Listen, being an American means that we're going to disagree, but let's end the polarization of Americans. Because let me tell you, we all go to the same workplaces. We all go to the same churches, and many, you know, obviously not all the same churches. But you get the idea. We're all going down the same roads of America. Let's see what we can do, being positive, to bring people together. And that's really what I wanted to say today. With Dr. Savage, I know he was kind of kidding around the other day that he has a sensitive side. He only brings that out once in a while. I believe that he does. Let's talk to America. I mean, even our radio stations are polarized. The left just talk to each other. They talk to themselves. The right just talk to themselves. We're all Americans. We have so many things in common. And I really do believe that this is a fantastic country. And I'm very positive moving forward with what's happening here.
Hey, this quickly, Jim. I apologize to interrupt. Two things quickly. I know Dr. Savage has a sensitive side because he and I are kindred spirits when it comes to dogs. And anybody who's a softie about dogs has a great side to them. So just buy Teddy and me if you want to see his sensitive side. Buy Teddy and me. But why do you think so many people bought into the divisive rhetoric of the Obama administration when it came to social justice issues and issues with the police and so on and so forth right down the line? Each and every issue that came upon his desk that he had a chance to bring people together, he went the wrong route and ended up dividing people. But I didn't buy into it. Sounds like you didn't buy into it, Jim. You sound very open-minded. Why do you think so many people bought into the negative rhetoric?
I think sometimes, you know, in our human spirit, that we have a tendency to be vulnerable to what may seem is free. My point to you is, I really believe we need to lean back on self-reliance and not relying on government. That is the key issue. My point to Dr. Savage and to President-elect Trump is, let's emphasize that we need to be self-reliant, and we can become stronger by being self-reliant. Rely on your own resources. Go back to helping others if you feel that you have the means to help someone else, but rely on yourself, have confidence in each other, and move forward in the spirit of self-reliance, not relying on government to take care of all your needs. Get up in the morning and...
Listen, Jim, I'm with you 1,000%, but there are a lot of people here in America, especially in certain portions of the black community, who truly feel that these people, the racial hucksters out there and Obama, have them feeling that they are truly oppressed when they are not.
Yeah, and that's a real big problem, it is. And a lot of these folks, let me tell you something, a lot of them are good folks too. My
yes.
point today is, let's just start to educate people about the fact that you can really get up, decide. You can get up each day, decide that you are an amazing person, that you can do something for yourself. Let's move away from the past. If you never leave the past, you will never reach the present. And that has to do with white Americans, black Americans, brown Americans, red Americans. We are all Americans. Let's get up, let's be positive, and decide to take care of ourselves.
All right. Hey, Jim, I got to run, but thank you very much. I do appreciate that those positive sentiments, and they will reach millions of people in the Savage Nation audience. Before we go to a break, I looked up at the screen as Jim was wrapping it up, and I see that Donald Trump had tweeted out earlier about the Consumer Price Index, how it has increased 4 points, and that was a big jump. And then he thanked himself. Thanks, Donald. With an exclamation point. I'm telling you, it's going to be a great 4 years coming up and hopefully more. My name is Lou Pate. You are listening to The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
It's the Savage Nation. Lou Pate sitting in for Dr. Savage. And as we make our way to the end of the show, do not forget, go to michaelsavage.com, subscribe to the newsletter, check out the news stories on the site, the latest as what's going on in the world. It's your one-stop shopping at michaelsavage.com. Again, the newsletter, it is free. Free! And is delivered directly to your mailbox. So there you have it coming in automatically. No charge. What more could you want? But while you're there on michaelsavage.com, while you're reading all of the latest news of the day, you can check out Scorched Earth. Buy it. You will not be disappointed. It is the most important book that you will have in your possession as we head into the Trump presidency and 2017. Trust me on this. Now, where does this whirlwind of a day go? We have the exclamation point of the Obama administration letting Israel know that they are not our friend. Well, they are a friend of America in my book. They are an ally of America. But in the eyes of the current presidential administration of Barack Hussein Obama. They are not a friend. He made it loud and clear today. The echoes have been there for the last 7 years. The actions speaking louder than the words. The rhetoric that you are our friend. You always have a friend. You're our number one ally. Boulder Dash, because they have shown no respect. They have shown no support. And they have shown no interest in the safety and security of Israel, our only ally in the most turbulent portion of the world. So where does this go? This goes to January 20th, where we press a new button, start with a clean slate. And good thing that Benjamin Netanyahu, Prime Minister, is willing to allow us to work with them. And I also encourage that we work with Russia, not make them our enemy. Hey, special thanks to Robert. Special thanks to Clint and the whole team at the Savage Nation. Do appreciate it. And to all the listeners who took part in the show. Remember to visit michaelsavage.com. My name is Lou Pate. You are listening to The Savage Nation.
Warning. The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. And now, America's most exciting radio talk show, The Savage Nation, home of borders, language, culture. And here he is, winner of the National Radio Hall of Fame Award, Michael Savage.
It's the Savage Nation. My name is Lou Pate, sitting in for Dr. Savage. And before we get to it, I must encourage you, because you're not going to be disappointed, to visit michaelsavage.com for all the latest. Sign up for the Savage newsletter. It's free and delivered to your inbox. Come on. What could be easier than that? And then you could impress your friends with all of your knowledge that you have, that you've learned from Dr. Savage. And they'll say, hey, you listen to Savage. I heard that. I got that newsletter too. And then you guys can have conversations. And you can buy the blueprint to restore America after Obama. Scorched Earth. It is the most important book heading into 2017 and the Trump presidency, which the Trump presidency, by the way, finds its foundation here at the Savage Nation. It cannot be said enough. Dr. Savage is the first national figure to give Donald Trump a platform to talk to the people and reach millions, as he did each and every time he came here on the Savage Nation. While everybody else in the media, both establishment Republicans and Democrats on the left, were making fun of Donald Trump, Dr. Savage saw and felt what was happening. The forgotten man. The silent majority. The unhappiness of the people, because he gets it from you. Trust me, when we're here, you feel a vibe of a show. Show's going good, you know. You feel a vibe of a show's going bad. You feel when people are happy. You feel when people are sad. And Dr. Savage felt it, and he embraced Donald Trump, not just to embrace him, but because he had some great ideas. And here we are, 23 days away from President Donald Trump. Stands on the rock of the Savage Nation. Now, we've talked extensively about John Kerry. We've played you many clips of his speech today, which was pretty much a national embarrassment. Netanyahu was criticized and called the most right-wing prime minister, accused of having extremist elements. I don't know about you folks, but I don't talk about my friends this way. Again, he was trying to justify. And I think part of this is twofold. Obama, who has an obsession with his legacy, all presidents are concerned with their legacy, that's just normal, but he is obsessed with his legacy. He puts ideology, agenda, and legacy over doing his job, and his obsession with his legacy is really screwing with his head and causing him to make even poorer decisions than he normally makes. And I truly believe that this UN resolution, which has not been well received by Americans, it has not been well received, obviously, by Israel and the Jewish community here in America, is another roadblock that he is putting in the way of President-elect Donald J. Trump. He's actually going out of his way to make things difficult. There's an article in the New York Post today, I think it was Michael Goodwin, Obama is doing everything he can do to make things hard for Trump. And it's true. And it's kind of unfortunate for the president-elect because right out of the gate, he wants to get things done. Remember, Mike Pence, Vice President-elect Mike Pence said it's going to be a roller coaster. Hold on is what he said. That excited me. And you have Obama putting these roadblocks. He's like messing up the kitchen. He's like messing up the room in the hotel before he leaves and before Donald Trump can have people in to have coffee in this hotel room. He's got to clean it up, and that's going to take time, and it's going to take money. So, Robert, we've talked about John Kerry. We've played clips of John Kerry, but if we can, clip number 20 of Prime Minister Netanyahu commenting on Kerry's speech.
Now I must express my deep disappointment with the speech today of John Kerry, a speech that was almost as unbalanced as the anti-Israel resolution passed at the UN last week. In a speech ostensibly about peace between Israelis and Palestinians, Secretary Kerry paid lip service to the unremitting campaign of terrorism that has been waged by the Palestinians against the Jewish state for nearly a century. What he did was to spend most of his speech blaming Israel for the lack of peace by passionately condemning a policy of enabling Jews to live in their historic homeland and in their eternal capital, Jerusalem.
Well said by Prime Minister Netanyahu. If you'd like to get in on the conversation, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-SAVAGE. Belva from Dr. Savage's home station of KSFO in San Francisco. Welcome to the Savage Nation.
Hello, how are you doing?
I'm doing okay, thank you for holding.
Good, thank you. Benjamin Netanyahu came into, of course, the world arena back during the Six-Day War when the Palestinians actually attacked Israel, you know, to obtain more land, to obtain, you know, what, and wipe out Israel if possible. We were there supporting them. And now in 50 years, what Obama has come in and then what they had to say. And here, during Hanukkah, again, I feel like Israel has been attacked. And unfortunately, by their allies. What on earth has happened? I mean, it's shameful. It's beyond shameful. But
listen, Belva, I'll tell you, and Prime Minister Netanyahu lost his brother, I believe, in that Six-Day War.
He did. And, you know, the thing is that he is a very great man. And if Obama, I was watching a clip on YouTube where he was reading from his writings back in Hawaii during, he wrote this during Cambridge. This man is prejudiced, and he's a black man. And the thing is, until we stop seeing people as he apparently sees us as the enemy, as he sees Israel is the enemy, I believe he actually sees the Palestinian side. I'm not afraid of Israel. I don't believe they're sending suicide bombers into our country. Not at all. And so therefore, what on earth is he thinking, building up the Palestinians? It's a recipe for absolute terror.
He's basically giving the Palestinians carte blanche by blaming Israel for everything that is going on. You didn't hear him blame Hamas. You didn't hear him blame Hezbollah. You did not hear him criticize the Palestinians for shooting rockets over the walls. You did not hear him criticize the bombing of cafes and buses and strapping their own children with bombs. It is truly an amazing phenomenon. You did not hear them talk about the agreement. It's been more than 20 years since the Israelis and the PLO signed a peace agreement, and the mistrust is so high because the PLO has violated that peace treaty on numerous occasions. You look at the history of Arafat and what he brought to the table, it's not exactly a clean record, and if I can be kind, it is truly a phenomenon that seems to be no responsibility on the part of the Palestinians in the eyes of President Obama, in the eyes of Senator Kerry, former Senator Kerry, Secretary of State Kerry. It is truly and then they'll stand up there and say, "I am your friend," and they tried to use kind of like, he didn't say tough love, but the tough love line, Belva. But don't worry, Hope is on the way, 23 days. Belva, thank you very much for your call. Do appreciate it. We'll keep it out in San Francisco. Let's welcome Mary from KSFO to the Savage Nation. Hello, Mary.
Hi, Lou. Thank you for having me on. I'm just so upset by this despicable speech by Kerry. It just seems like it's more Hussein Obama, you know, his divisive hatred and propaganda against Israel, the Jewish people, and also, you know, Christians who are very similar in belief with the Jewish people. I was in Israel a year ago, and it's absolutely brilliant and beautiful and smart and the best water I've ever drank in my life because they have desalination plants. These people love America and we're safe. And until we got to the West Bank and we went in to the Palestine-owned area of Bethlehem, and it was a pig pen. Immediately when we crossed the border into Bethlehem, which is taken over by the Palestinians, it was a pig pen. There was trash everywhere. It was very, very, very unsafe. It was despicable. And we asked the Jewish people about it, and they said, look, we thought that when we gave them that territory that it would help. And he said, it only made things worse. And, you know, this history, I mean, just go to the Holocaust Museum and look at how everything started was with propaganda against the Jews. And that's what Kerry and Hussein are spewing, their hatred. And, you know, the last thing I would just say is that we asked them, this was a bunch of refugees were, you know, in being at the border, and we asked them, is Israel going to be taking in a bunch of these, you know, Syrian refugees? And they looked at us kind of like with horror, and they said, why would we bring in our enemies? It just doesn't make any sense. You know, we send supplies to the border, but we would never bring in our enemies. And I just say, God bless America. Thank God Donald Trump is coming in to save the day.
Well said, Mary. I said it at the top of the show, and it bears repeating, is that it took John Kerry basically 70 minutes to say that Israel does not have a friend in the current administration in the United States. And as you said, Mary, Donald Trump is coming, and that is a good thing for America. It's a good thing for the world, and it's certainly a good thing for Israel. If you're holding, please continue to hold. We're going to take a quick break. If you want to get in on the conversation, 855-400-SAVAGE. Lou Pate sitting in for Dr. Savage. And remember to go to michaelsavage.com. Sign up for that newsletter. What more can I say? It's free. Delivered directly to your inbox. Come on. Not going to get a better deal anywhere else. You are listening to The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
It's the Savage Nation. My name is Lou Pate, sitting in for Dr. Savage. Go to michaelsavage.com for all the latest. Sign up for the Savage newsletter, free, delivered directly to your inbox. Buy the blueprint to restore America after Obama scorched earth. It's the most important book heading into 2017 and the Trump presidency. Talked a lot about Kerry, talked a lot about Benjamin Netanyahu's response. The United States turning its back on its number one ally in the most turbulent region in the world. This following the UN resolution, which deemed the building of new housing settlements in the West Bank and East Jerusalem illegal. And now Israel says it's going to present President-elect Trump with evidence, that's not my word, their word, evidence that Obama was behind said resolution. If that is true, it's basically the exclamation point. Actually, I think the speech today by Kerry is the exclamation point and the proof that Obama was behind the resolution to make the building illegal. Obviously, that is just my opinion, but why else would Kerry make a speech that trashes our number one ally, basically tells our friend, we are not your friend. We don't even like you. Everything you've been doing has been wrong. You are not the victim here. You are the villain. It's the poor Palestinians. What are we going to do with 2.75 million of them? And so on and so forth. It went on. Truly an amazing phenomenon. Robert, what was the clip? Is it clip 10, please?
We know that there was a deep collusion between the Obama administration and the Palestinians in order to push this United States, this United Nations Security Council resolution forward. That is deeply, deeply disappointing because historically America has protected Israel at this very, very biased body, you know, and the idea that this Security Council resolution, which was allowed to pass and even pushed very strongly by the Obama administration.
Now, that is David Keyes. He's the Netanyahu spokesperson, a spokesperson for the prime minister. And if there is evidence, it will come out. But what we don't know, what is the mystery, is what is Obama's problem with Israel? What is his problem with Netanyahu? We've seen in the past, leaders don't always like each other. They don't always get along. We saw Reagan and Gorbachev. Was it Iceland and Reykjavik? You know, they left. They weren't smiling. These two guys on that particular day did not get along. But, you know, at the end, what good leadership is, what a true leader does, is his job, okay? What any good employee does is his job, and you focus on it with pride. The president's job is to make sure we are safe, we are secure, that the economy does well, that our allies are all safe. Israel, our number one ally. He did not convey that. He has not conveyed that in 7 years, and he had made it clear today, the exclamation point. Let's get back to the phones. George, welcome to the Savage Nation. Thank you for holding.
Hi, Lou. Good to be on with you. I was just thinking about the fact that this instance of Kerry's speech just really goes to show how right Dr. Savage is when it comes to discussing liberalism as a mental disorder. It is a common habit of theirs to claim one thing and do another with the expectation that somehow will not catch it. And so when it comes to something like legislation that the administration tries to pass, claiming it will do one thing, like protect minorities, when the facts are it doesn't. Your biology is a fact, but apparently your words determine the facts there. And then this idea that, well, we can say that we're friends with Israel, but the facts don't prove that that is within their mindset whatsoever. It just doesn't work that way, and they expect us to swallow it. It's unreal.
If I could enter back into the fray, George, the 800-pound gorilla in the room, and that being the Iran nuclear deal, again, $150 billion of our taxpayer dollars given to the number one sponsor of terrorism, state-sponsored terrorism, how is that helping Israel, George? It's kind of a rhetorical question, but you know what I mean. How is that helping Israel? How is funding Israel's number one enemy who wants to obliterate them, how is that looking out for your friend?
Their stated intentions and then their behavior are always polar opposite. They can't win by telling the truth. They can't do it, and they know it.
It is truly amazing. George, thank you for your call. And it's all part and parcel. It's overlapping here. We have the UN security resolution, okay? And now we have Kerry's speech. And we have Obama bringing refugees in from other countries. We have him at every turn trying to do something to thwart progress for President-elect Trump, who actually now is acting more like a president than President Obama. And he's trying to put Trump in a box. It's a great statement. President Obama is trying to put President-elect Trump in a box. And I have to give producer Robert credit for Trump in the box because it's a great statement. That's how he described it to me, because I would say, you know, Obama's trying to lead Trump down this meandering road, picking up the crumbs of Obama's destruction. And Robert said, no, he's trying to put him in a box. So I got to give credit where credit is due. We'll talk more about this. Take your phone calls when we return here to the Savage Nation.
Join the Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE.
It's the Savage Nation. Lou Pate sitting in for Dr. Savage. And remember, please go visit michaelsavage.com. You have my personal guarantee that you will not be disappointed. There you will find all the latest news. You'll be able to sign up for the Savage newsletter. And remember, it's free and delivered directly to your inbox. While there, purchase the blueprint to restore America after Obama's scorched earth. the most important book heading into 2017 and the Trump presidency. The Savage Nation, if you'd like to get on the conversation, 855-400-SAVAGE. Again, I want to mention the Iran nuclear deal. It's something that not many people are talking about, but as I said before, we're supposed to be the friend, the ally of Israel. I think it has become clear today and through the last 7 years that America is its friend, but the current administration is not. And the only reason I can rest easy with that is because it's only 23 days before Obama is a footnote in history, and that we were going to hand off the reins of the presidency to someone who has promised to be a true friend of Israel, and I think will, and will make this whole thing go away. But as we touched on, President Obama is purposely building roadblocks for President Trump so that he will have to kill valuable time and valuable resources. But you've got, with the Iran nuclear deal, you've got converging interests in Sunni countries because Iran now has become incredibly powerful. They were powerful to begin with, and now they've got the muscle and the financing of the United States of America. Are we an ally? No. Are we going to send troops to help them with anything? No. But money is muscle. Money is power. And $150 billion goes a long way. And you look at how Iran has handled the nuclear deal, basically by not honoring it, mocking Obama, mocking the money that they've gotten with the release of the prisoners, these skids of cash, which I mentioned earlier. You can't trust them. They're going back on their word. They are not stopping their quest for nuclear weapons. They're not even going to wait 8 years. They're going to have them way before that. So why, oh why, would anybody trust the Palestinians? When you, if you don't learn from your past mistakes, you're never going to be able to move forward. And we most certainly didn't learn from Iran basically making a fool of us, making a fool of Obama, making a fool of Kerry, taking the money and running. The Palestinians have a history of not honoring their word. So why would Israel adhere to what John Kerry said? He said at one point, Israel's security is unaffected. What security? Suicide bombers, blowing up cafes, blowing up buses. You never know when a rocket's going to come over the wall. That's security? We're going to have to explain to him what security is. Stephen at WTIC, welcome to the Savage Nation with Lou Pate. How are you?
I just wanted to make the remark, that the comment that, and this is directed to that woman who spoke earlier, I think her name was Belva.
Belva, yes, at San Francisco.
For the American Jews, Israel wouldn't be such a precarious situation as it is in the world today. The Jewish influence in the media entertainment industry, the vast majority of the Jewish voters support Obama. Jewish leaders like Chucky Schmucky Schumer and Debbie Wasserman Schultz, who are a disgrace to our people, have led the Jewish people in the wrong direction. And the, you know, the American Jews have put, in many ways, have put Obama in power and screwed their brothers and sisters in Israel. Israel's greatest enemy is not the Muslim Brotherhood, the PLO, or Hezbollah. It's the American Jewish voter who, if given another chance, would continue the same path and support Obama for the third term. It's probably the greatest political paradox in my lifetime.
That's an excellent point, Stephen. Let me start out by saying, wishing you and your family a happy Hanukkah. And thank you for calling and holding. And I have a question. I understand why, you know, people drank the Kool-Aid and fell for the con that was Obama back in 2008. Personally, I didn't, but I could understand how young people, fall for it, the whole Barack star thing and so on and so forth. But in your opinion, as a Jewish man living in America, how did the Jewish community fall for, or I don't say fall for, but why did they vote for Obama the second time, in your opinion, in 2012? It makes absolutely no sense to me. You mentioned the entertainment business, politicians, very powerful people, and yet they seem to blindly, is it that they just blindly vote Democrat, or what is it? What is your theory on it?
I'm not so sure if their liberal agenda is more important than Israel. I think it is, but I also think that there's a self-hating element to this whole thing, knowing that deep down that Obama was supported by the PLO in the first campaign. PLO gave money to his first campaign. So the question really is why would they support? It's hard to believe. I have to only say I thank the Christian voters who helped to defeat him now and defeat his agenda by defeating Hillary Clinton. And if it wasn't for the Christian brothers and sisters, Israel would be in great peril, because it's thanks to the Christian voters that this communist coup is finally over, and Israel will now have a chance to survive.
And yeah, Hillary Clinton would have been no more of a friend to Israel than she would have been to America. She would have been the same like Barack Obama. Stephen, again, happy Hanukkah to you. Thank you very much for checking in from WTIC. Yeah, Hillary Clinton, actually, she might have been worse. And how pompous is President Obama? Are you so insecure that you have to put out a statement saying if you had run for a third term, which Stephen had touched on, that you would have beaten Donald Trump? No. No, trust me, Hillary Clinton losing is basically a reflection on how people feel about the Obama presidency. It is a disaster. Hey, little trivia for you. What's the first promise Obama made back in 2008? Close Gitmo. He didn't do it. Still open. And I think it should remain open, but if he can't take care of his first promise, fulfill that, how's anything else supposed to get done?
Hello, I'm fine. I got it. WEZS out of New Hampshire, and
you're
I
welcome
the comments if you don't mind.
Sure, floor is yours.
As far as this, the thing with Israel, this is like your man said, to put a stumbling block in front of Trump. If you're Egypt, if you're Jordan, if you're any country in the Middle East, even around the world, you look at here's Russia and Putin, who will support Assad even when the UN comes down on them, even when it costs them blood. And here's America that abandons Israel when there's no blood on the line at all. Who do you want? Who do you trust as an ally? I mean, he has really put a stumbling block in. It's going to take that Trump is going to have to show, hey, beyond me, there's other good Americans. Second comment I'd like to make is that when Trump does his inauguration, don't bother bringing in the bigwigs. Bring in the service academy choirs and bands, and open your inauguration with Columbia, the gem of the ocean, Air Force, the Navy, the Army. And then close your inauguration with Battle Hymn of the Republic, all four verses done by gospel choirs from the D.C. area and around the country. You don't need any big shots. This was an Oliver Cromwell roundhead revolution. We don't need an arrogant king and his cavaliers in this.
And I'll tell you what, Trey, not just because I'm here, as I said before, the foundation of Trump getting national attention, although he was obviously a well-known person with his building with The Apprentice, but in the political realm of this candidacy and this election is Dr. Michael Savage.
Absolutely, and I do have scorched earth. My wife got it for me over Christmas.
Well, we appreciate your support. Don't you think he should be up there, up on Capitol Hill?
Oh, I think so. I think so. Absolutely. I mean, he is the big shot who should be there.
I agree. That's why when you say no big shot, I say, well, except for one, because...
Yeah, I agree with that.
Well, thank you very much for your call, Trey, because we are talking about support here. We're talking about friendship. We're talking about America being a friend to Israel, Israel being a friend to America. That doesn't exist right now. Donald Trump had tweeted out today that, you know, basically, I'm paraphrasing, you know, how disappointed he was with Kerry's speech. Everybody was disappointed with Kerry's speech. I am fascinated by the fact that the president-elect of the United States tweets out, and within moments, the prime minister of Israel tweets back, thanking him for his warmth and his friendship. And what did Trump say in that? Stay strong, Israel. It's truly amazing. Make America great again. Stay strong, Israel. He's got a gift for these one-liners. But now, if you look at this from a historic perspective, long before Obama came into the fray, Israel has been fighting for its right to exist ever since 1948. There is no friend of Israel in the UN. The UN, which, by the way, 12 years ago, excuse me, they had an internal integrity study, and the results from the internal integrity study was so scathing by its own employees, they decided not to release it. That is a true story. And the UN, over the course of decades and decades, has been nothing but hostile to the state of Israel. So this UN resolution now, on the cusp of 2017, should come as no surprise, except for the fact that Samantha Power abstained. and did not use the veto power to support our friend in Israel. What does that say? It says, Israel, currently, you are no friend of the United States. And that is horrible. 855-400-SAVAGE. If you're holding, please continue to hold. We'll take a quick break. We will come right back. You are listening to The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now. 855-400-SAVAGE. 855-400-7282. Savage.
The Savage Nation is sponsored by Swiss America, the only company I trust with my financial future. Call 800-289-2646 or SwissAmerica.com.
Welcome back to the Savage Nation. Lou Pate sitting in for Dr. Savage. And visit michaelsavage.com. Get your newsletter. Subscribe. It's free. Delivered directly to your inbox. And, of course, purchase Restore America After Obama, Scorched Earth, the most important book heading into 2017 and a new era of the Trump presidency. Now, Benjamin Netanyahu had some strong words. He said Israelis do not need to be lectured about the importance of peace. And it's funny he used the word lecture because Obama has surrounded himself with academia, people who don't live in the real world. Everything is based on theory in a classroom, but when applied to the real world, often doesn't work. And so he actually took Obama's lesson today and then lectured the world on why Israel is the villain. But if we can, Robert, let's play clip number 5.
They fail to recognize that this friend, the United States of America, that has done more to support Israel than any other country, this friend that has blocked countless efforts to delegitimize Israel, cannot be true to our own values or even the stated democratic values of Israel. And we cannot properly defend and protect Israel if we allow a viable two-state solution to be destroyed before our own eyes. And that's the bottom line. The vote in the United Nations was about preserving the two-state solution. That's what we were standing up for. Israel's future is a Jewish and democratic state, living side by side in peace and security with its neighbors. That's what we are trying to preserve for our sake and for theirs.
That's the second time that Kerry used the term Jewish and democratic. And as we played earlier in the show, he also said Israel can either be Jewish or democratic. And when you have to throw the word friend in there, you're not truly a friend. It's usually assumed that you're a friend. And pushing this two-state solution, again, is code for we're taking the Palestinian side because we know there is no such thing as a two-state solution. Again, you cannot negotiate and compromise with people who want you erased from history, erased from the face of the earth. Yvette at WABC, welcome to the Savage Nation, Yvette.
How you doing? I'm Yvette from Long Island. I like listening to you guys, just hearing both sides of the story. And I mean, I kind of look at it like Congress, you know, it's an old school generation. And maybe they need to be revamped up into the new ages. But the bottom line is, it's Americans should come first. We're worried about what's going on abroad. We need to get it right here first. I'm not going to go and feed your family before mine eat. So we need to get this together, man. And Trump, I think he's going to shock the world.
I think he's already shocked the world. I think it's better to say, Yvette, he's going to continue to shock the world. What do you think?
Well, I hope it's in a good way because I recall that the world being great wasn't great for many people but Caucasian males. So hopefully the world being great will mean for all Americans and those that we invite to come and be a part of our American society.
Well said, Yvette, and a happy new year to you and your family. Thank you very much. Let's check in with Robert at WABC. Robert, welcome to the Savage Nation. You say it's silly to think we don't support Israel?
What was that?
I say, are you saying you think it's silly to think we do not support Israel? Is that what it says? That's what it says.
I think it's crazy. And, you know, I hear this caller call in that American Jews that support Obama are worse enemies than Hezbollah. How can you let that go?
Let me ask you this first. Did you hear the speech today? And have you heard the cuts we've been playing throughout Michael Savage's show?
I agree with most everything that Kerry said, and I'm an American Jew. And let me give you a couple of points.
Wait, let me ask you this. You agree with Kerry. How is Israel the bad guy in this conflict?
Look, I don't think he's saying he's a bad guy. Since when is a difference of policy make you an enemy of Israel?
No, no, it's not a difference of policy. Today, John Kerry was basically saying, you do as we say, and this is the way it is, and deal with it. Even though they're lobbing missiles, they're blowing up cafes, they're blowing up buses, they've been public about wanting you dead. This is the history. They're supposed to be our number one ally. And if you did not hear him siding with the Palestinians, I don't know if we'd listen to the same speech.
First of all, there's more than one Israel. If you read the Israeli papers in the morning, the way I do, there are many, many mainstream parties in Israel are supporting the U.S. move and saying that Netanyahu painted Israel into a corner, and this is the result.
Those are Netanyahu's enemies. There are a lot of people who did not support Netanyahu. I have friends of the Jewish faith here. We've sat around the table on my patio, and they were adamantly against Benjamin Netanyahu. So you're always going to get your political opposites, your political enemies, saying that you're doing the wrong thing. But forget whether they agree or not. The UN resolution making it illegal for Israel to expand, you're okay with that?
I think that I'm one of those who believes that the settlement expansion in Israel harms, in the long term, Israeli security. I consider myself a great believer and friend of Israel. I've had relatives that have been killed in Europe. So I don't need to be lectured by some idiot.
We're not lecturing you, but harms their security. The only harm to security is the Palestinians. You're listening to The Savage Nation.
Join The Savage Nation. Call now, 855-400-SAVAGE, 855-400-7282.